is the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet line change. Now, back to Eric Messersmith, TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, Hannah Yates, and Matt Whitener on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Thanks for hanging with us here on the Johnny Londoff Line Change. We go now to the Ryan Kelly phone lines, and Bill DeWitt III, the president of the St. Louis Cardinals, is with us. Thank you for joining us, sir, and I know you played yesterday with Cam Jansen on the same team, so who was the better player on that team yesterday?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Well, I mean, you know, it's not really a fair fight, either skill-wise or fighting-wise, if you want to compare those two. We're talking about a guy that was just in the NHL a couple years ago, so no, but we had a lot of fun. We have a great time together.
Oh, that was actually me and Billy skated this morning too. We can't get enough of it. Hey, Billy, didn't I? We remember us walking on the ice this morning. I look at you, I'm like, wow, we skated yesterday, did all that, had all that going on, and we still got up at 5:30 in the morning and went and skated 7:30 this morning and had a pretty good game. But really, Billy, yeah, you looked good the other day. And you had a really, really nice goal. That must have been pretty fun to do that. And the weather actually was pretty warm. I felt great out there.
Yeah, no, it was definitely fun to get one on Panger. That was a highlight of my year, no doubt about it. But we don't usually have, like, camera crews and people watching us.
Billy, I was getting nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm supposed to score out there, believe it or not. Like, okay, yeah, I'm not scoring in NHL. But in those games, I got to score at least one. And the time was ticking down. And I'm like, oh, boy, I better pick it up a little bit. But
did you hear me say, okay, ringers, you know who you are. It's time to step up.
And that's when I did it.
That was intended for you, by the way.
And that's when I did. You did look me off one time on a two-on-one I wasn't very happy about. But we'll get into that later.
I feel bad about that one.
We'll get into that later. But look, Billy, the whole Winter Classic was unbelievable. I mean, the weather to everything, it just worked out for everyone. Both games were just phenomenal, packed to the rim. If there was anything that you could have changed, what would have it been? I know that might be a tough one because everything worked out so smooth, but if there was something you could have changed.
It really did work out well. I mean, I thought the it was so nerve-wracking with the weather, on the Monday game because the alumni game was so awesome and the weather was perfect and looked like our forecast was going to be pretty good except for Monday. And then, we got that window of opportunity, and it was smart, I think, of them. The window was actually a little better later, but they chose the earlier window because you got more time to make it up if things go wrong. So I think that was the right call. They got it in. But not really, no regrets. I mean, it was, the whole week after was important to, I know, the Blues and the Cardinals to some extent as far as just getting as many people on the ice and exposed to the game, in that kind of an environment as possible. So we did a ton of free skates, corporate outings and youth hockey and all that went great. Our staff, put in extra hours along with the Blues. So it was a great week.
Well, you're speaking of unity with the Cardinals and the Blues. I mean, that is so cool that you and Tom are very close. You don't see that too often in major cities with sports teams. And I look at it, and what I said this morning is hockey brings people together. And you're a hockey fan, and we skate together. And for you and Tom to be able to skate three times a week like that, it just kind of brings the teams together, and it helps this city out a lot. What do you think about that? Am I wrong on that assessment?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was something that kind of just happened organically. I've known Tom for a number of years, and of course the skates, add to that. And then the ownership group that he put together has a lot of common denominators to the Cardinals group and particularly the St. Louis guys. And it's just fun because, everybody kind of understands what the other's doing. There's no grab for the other guy's entertainment dollar or whatever it may be
exactly.
That you see sometimes in other sports. And I think for us, with the Rams gone, it's added a little bit of focus to that relationship, and rightfully so. And it just, for us, it started naturally. And with the Winter Classic, it really came to a culmination because we had to work so closely with them, and our staff was able to make really good relationships with theirs. And I just think it bodes well for St. Louis. It sends a good message that we're all in this together. And both teams can thrive and succeed in this market, no doubt about it.
Well, that just shows and proves that you could put a huge event on like this and combine basically both teams, and for it to work out so smoothly, there's some sort of unity involved in that one way or the other. And another thing with Ballpark Village, I tell you what, just all the things that we got to do over there, just connected with Busch Stadium, it was so convenient and easy. And I tell you this right now, between me and my producer, Maddie Whitener, you'd probably be able to put another couple more renovations on that bad boy, because we spent a whole lot of money there. I mean, my gosh, Billy, how's everything going with that too, by the way?
It's going well. You know, we've been real pleased with the first phase. Obviously, it really complements, enhances the game day experience for us, and it gives us a presence, you know, 365 days a year with our brand and Cardinals Nation and the museum and the Hall of Fame and all that. And, of course, live with the studio with Fox and then the retailers and the restaurants. And so we're real excited about what that does for us in terms of, you know, a lot of teams have come and look at the model. But really, I mean, I still have the bigger vision. And I think for us, starting to focus on phase two with an apartment tower and an office tower and some additional retail to really put the Village in Ballpark Village, that's our goal for 2017, to try to get that project to break ground maybe later in the year if all goes well. So, you know, it's been great, but we're obviously, you know, even eager and hungry for some more.
We're talking to Cardinals President Bill DeWitt III here on the Johnny Landoff Line Change 590 The Fan. It's obvious that downtown St. Louis has had its struggles in recent years, but with the investment you guys are putting in, it seems like you realize that it's very important for everybody, including the Cardinals, to have a healthy and thriving downtown.
For sure. And you know, we've made this investment in Ballpark Village and continue to. But we're also, you know, gives us confidence that things like City Arch River have happened, which is a huge investment by most of the private sector, but also some public. You know, what they've done up on Washington Avenue and with MX, what Bob O'Loughlin's done with Union Station. And, you know, there's several other smaller projects. Obviously, the Blues looking to, you know, to upgrade Scottrade and, you know, efforts to get soccer. All this stuff, you know, we're hopeful and we're supportive of, because for us, you know, the more the merrier downtown. We've got to create and enhance that tourism, which is a big part of what makes us overachieve relative to our market size, is to get people come downtown, come to the city. They stay in our hotels that are from the outer markets, particularly in the summer weekends. And for the Blues, it's the winter weekends. But, you know, that's the lifeblood of what makes us special as a market and allows us to do the things we do that puts us kind of up there with the big boys of the big markets.
You mentioned the potential MLS expansion into St. Louis and the efforts there and how the relationship is with the Blues. What is your thought about a third potential major franchise coming to St. Louis?
You know, we've been supportive of it. As I said, we're of the belief that, you know, the rising tide lifts all the boats. You know, it'll overlap a little bit with the Cardinal season, but not a ton. And, you know, it's more investment, more jobs downtown. Like I said, it was all very positive. So, you know, we're rooting for the effort. I know they've got, you know, some political issues to work through and so forth. And so we'll wish them well with that. And, but, you know, I think certainly it handled football, you know, baseball and hockey before. And I think the market could certainly handle hockey, baseball, and soccer without question.
Bill DeWitt III, Cardinals president, with us here on the Ryan Kelly phone lines. Turning to the offseason that you had with the Cardinals, I know that some fans were critical that you guys didn't do enough, didn't spend enough. What would you say to those fans that think maybe the Cardinals didn't do enough this offseason?
Well, you know, our strategy is to try to be consistently competitive every year. And I think we've been able to do that over the last 15 to 20 years, which is really it's really hard to do, because when you're successful, particularly, you know, like a couple of years where we had the most wins, you pick last in the draft. And, you know, so when you're doing that every year, not picking last, but, you know, we've been in the playoffs for a number of years, just missed it last year. But, you know, the system kind of works against you to stay good for a long period of time. And because of that, you got to be very careful with your decision making, and you always have to keep an eye on the long term and balance it with the short term. So, sure, we could have thrown every last chip on the table this year and, you know, boosted payroll like some columnists thought we should. But then you're in a point where you know, in a couple of years, you're retreating. And we don't want to have to do that. We want to be able to continue to feed the pipeline with scouting and player development. That's the lifeblood of what we're trying to do. And then complement that with, you know, key free agent signings like a Fowler or Cecil, and then maybe a trade every once in a while to bolster it. But again, always with an eye on the long term so that in any one year, you're not throwing all the chips on the table. And I think the baseball system sets up so that if you just make the tournament, you've got a pretty good chance of running the table once in a while. And we've seen that with teams like in 06 and 11. And, you know, only 10 teams make it in baseball. Other sports, a bigger percentage of the clubs make the playoffs. But in baseball, it's only 10. It used to just be 8, but 10 now. And one-third, when you're in that tournament, you got a shot.
Bill, everybody is really excited about the Dexter Fowler signing, and he'll be in town this weekend as a part of the winter warm-up. Is that something that, you know, maybe even still with him not being on the field yet, people are going to get even more excited about once the season takes place?
I certainly hope so. I mean, you know, Fowler has been a great – for us, the way we looked at it, he was a great fit in a lot of ways for the Cardinals. Certainly on the field, great leadoff hitter, on-base percentage, some power, good defender in center. So he's a great fit there. But, you know, in the clubhouse, in the community, you know, these are some intangibles that you factor and certainly help break ties when you're evaluating players. And I think for him, he's got a lot of those qualities that maybe it's even more than break a tie. You really value that stuff. And you know, we're very excited about what he brings to the table on and off the field.
And again, as I mentioned, the winter warm-up's coming up this weekend. You know, Cardinals Care benefits a lot from that every year. And, you know, obviously it's kind of like the unofficial opening to the baseball season in town. You know, what are some of the things people should look forward to from that this year?
Yeah, well, I think I always look at the writers' dinner lineup because those guys usually put together a pretty good show of not only recapping the season that we had, but then turning the page and looking at what's ahead in 2017. So we're going to celebrate the 1967 World Championship team. A lot of those guys will be in for the festivities, signing autographs, and obviously at the writers' dinner. And then we'll, the same lineup of the winter warm-up that people have come to expect, which is, you know, the memorabilia booths, the autographs, many of which are free, some of which you have to pay for. All charities go to, all proceeds obviously go to Cardinals Care, but then there's great booths, there's information stuff, there's great talks on the main stage and in breakout sessions. Pretty much just, you know, anything Cardinals, you can get the inside scoop, and it really helps you kind of get past, you know, the MLK hurdle of the winter, and you start looking at spring and start counting down to spring training at that point.
We're talking with Cardinals President Bill DeWitt III here on the Johnny Londoff Line Change 590, the fan inside STL.com. One player everybody, I think, is so excited about in Cardinal Nation is Alex Reyes after what we saw last year. He obviously could be someone who could be one of the top pitchers in the league in short order. What are your expectations for him this season, and do you think that he will have some type of hard innings cap?
You know, that's something that Mo and his staff have talked about at length. I know if you look at the stats, most teams are kind of protecting their young guns from a pitch count standpoint. And I'm sure we'll put some kind of an innings limit on him. You know, you just don't expect or wouldn't even want to see him throw, you know, well over 200 innings. Of course, if he had the ability to do that this soon, it might be tempting, but he's an electric arm. He's a great talent. And, you know, I'm excited about what he can do, as well as, you know, guys like Grichuk and Adams and others who, you know, we don't necessarily have seen their best. Wong's another one. I feel like they still have something to prove. And that's kind of getting me excited about this upcoming season, because we know the veterans, Wainwrights and Molinas, are going to perform. They always have. But it's the young guys that have a chip on their shoulder and are pretty hungry to establish themselves as really key veterans in this league. If those guys can do that and step to that next level, I love our chances for getting back to the top of the division.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about watching Reyes, that's for sure. All right, Billy, I got one more question for you, and I want a serious answer. If you were going to build another team for a charity and you're gonna, and there's three players left, and you had to pick one of them to raise a lot of money for a charity for an ice hockey game. One of the players is Fred Bird, the other one Louie, and the third one Jim Edmonds. Who would you pick?
Oh,
I'm serious. I'm serious.
Oh, my God. You know, the funny thing was, like, I thought that was pretty – did you think that was pretty funny that those guys just – that Louie and Fred Bird just went out there randomly in the middle of the game? I mean
– I know. It was dangerous.
And he I know he does talk behind the scenes sometimes despite popular convention, but he's like, God, I couldn't see a thing. I'm like, you're about to – bowl someone over that doesn't even know. But then Jimmy was, he was hanging in there. I gotta say.
Oh, you're being nice. Oh, Billy, don't be. You're being nice. You're being nice. Oh, that was a blast, though. And actually, when I saw Louie for the first time, I thought it was Losey, but then Losey was over on the other side, so I got those two mixed up pretty good. But I tell you what, Jimmy was hilarious, although he was minus four on one shift.
At one point, you know, there was about 5 minutes left, and he basically double shifted.
I know.
Like, You can't double shift right now. We got to get our guns out there.
Yes. Yeah, you did.
Know? So I just sort of jumped out there. I was like, you know, come on, Cam, let's go.
Yeah.
Get Chaser out there.
Oh, yeah.
And pull the goalie.
We made it happen, and they should have blew the whistle.
If he went back and stood by the goal, I would have been okay. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, Billy, that was an unbelievable blast. We had such a good time. I didn't want to leave the locker room afterwards, and I know a lot of the guys were thinking the same thing. So we had a blast. You put a hell of a show on, a nice goal, and we'll talk to you soon, man. I'll see you Friday morning. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds great, and thanks for being out there with us. That was a great time, Cam, and you're always a great sport to play to the level that we're at, us scrubs, and then dominate when you need to.
I love it, Billy. I love it, man. We'll talk to you soon. I'll see you Friday.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks so much.
He has no idea you were going full speed.
I was going as hard as I could. I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, Billy, I dumped it down for you guys. Oh, yeah. Oh, but that's just the coolest thing. He's a great guy. And, again, like, he skated yesterday. It was a long night. He probably did something afterwards. He had to entertain a bunch of people. And then he gets up that early and comes out and skates with us again this morning. So pretty cool stuff.
Bill DeWitt III joining us here on the Johnny Landoff Line Change. Make sure you check that interview out on InsideSTL.com. And subscribe to our podcast, too, on iTunes. My big takeaway from that was I thought he had a really good answer when I asked him about, you know, the fans being upset because they didn't spend a lot of money. And he mm-hmm. said, look, yes, we could have gone out and spent more, but there is a limit. I mean, every team's got a limit. And when you spend something now, if that contract goes bad, look at Albert Pujols' contract, look at the Jason Hayward contract.
Exactly.
And then in a few years, you're hamstrung. No matter how much money you make, and the Cardinals make a lot of money and they're going to make more when that new TV deal kicks in, there are opportunity costs to spending
Trust me,
a lot of
money
now.
They have a game plan.
I don't understand being worried about the Cardinals' strategy when it comes to putting together a roster.
I know.
I mean, if there's not been a team.
DJ just threw his pen down in a panic.
There's not been a team in, I'm going to go outside of Major League Baseball, in sports as a whole almost, that has been better about measuring its shots and taking them at the right time than the St. Louis Cardinals have been over the last decade plus.
Yeah, they've been the model for the last 15 years. There's no question about that. I mean, I'd put them there with the Patriots and the Spurs and those kind of organizations. I think the frustration for some fans is, okay, that, and I'm not saying this necessarily in my opinion, but I think what some fans would say is, look, that's great, and that worked for a long time, but it's a different world now. And the Cubs were way better than you last year. They're likely to be better than you this year. And if you don't do something to break that model, they're going to be better than you for the foreseeable
future.
But
I think it's irrational to think that way when people say that because it discredits the talent that you have on your team already. I mean, everybody wants for guys to be at the peak of their game. You're counting on a lot of guys that are 23, 24, 25 years old to produce like they're all-stars already. Give guys time to become who they're going to be. I mean, go and ask if those folks down in Minnesota and Tampa Bay, if an 86-win season is that bad. You know, it's just not going to always line up the way you want to. But I'll tell you what, that guy that just got off the line with us here is smart. John Mozeliak, he's smart.
Oh, yeah.
And his dad calling the shots on how it all works out, these are smart guys calling a well-oiled machine in this organization.
And moreover, like if every organization that has had the sustained success that the Cardinals have had freaked out every time a team got some talent, they wouldn't have sustained that success in the first place. It doesn't make sense to just start panicking because of what somebody else is doing.
I agree.
You have to stay on your model, which is why you've seen the Spurs do what they've done. They don't go out and spend crazy money ever. Like, you never see the Patriots go out and spend crazy money. They get a deal on a guy that was a cast-off. They pick up a Michael Floyd. They get a Randy Moss after his career's going downhill in Oakland. Like, they just – Corey Dillon when he's having trouble in –
I think, to be fair, though, the difference is in those leagues, there's a hard salary cap. So the Spurs, they spend to the cap. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kawhi Leonard, they have one of the top, you know, payrolls in the league because everybody's pretty much even, except for the teams like Cleveland that go way over. And in football, pretty much everybody spends to the cap. In baseball with no cap, I think fans look at it and say, okay, you don't have anything holding you back. Right. From having a $200 million payroll. So if a guy like Edwin Encarnacion, and I'm not saying they should have signed him, I understand why they didn't, but I think a fan looks at it and says, okay, Edwin Encarnacion is there. He could help you. If you sign him, you have the money. Why not cut the check? That's what I think the fans look at.
I don't think that makes total sense because what happens is you just string it out over a number of years. Like you can always make it work and add money to a signing bonus and put it on year five and different things. I mean, even basketball, how did Miami find a way to get Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron? They just cleared the cap somehow and made it work. Like, there's a max contract. You find ways to do it in any league, but if you have a model of consistency like the Cardinals have had, like the Spurs have had, like the Patriots have had, like the Blackhawks have had, like the Blackhawks didn't just start signing a bunch of guys.
No.
You don't do that.
No, they got their top guys, their core group of guys that they spend money around, and they just find guys that complement them and that aren't expensive, to be honest.
And that's what all the good teams do. It's like you had your pillars in San Antonio for years with Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and
Parker.
And Parker, but eventually they're like, you know what, Kawhi Leonard's going to be a star. We're going to have to pay him. So you add him to the fold. But there was never a time where they're like, man, we've got to do this to start competing with Miami.
So 2 years ago, the Cardinals re-upped with Matt Carpenter. You know, after he showed early on the type of he was going to be, to some extent at that point, a surprise talent. You know, he had a huge breakout year, was in the MVP race, so they did the right thing and put some money behind him. Last year, in 2015, he made $3.7 million. Last year, he made $6.5 million. This year, he'll make $10 million. The year after that, he'll make $13 million. And his last guaranteed year, he'll make $14.7 million. It didn't surprise the Cardinals that media money was going to come down and help them be able to spend more money down the road. So a guy that will be 33 at that time, you could see some depreciation in his talent, is still going to be making a big dollar then. But you've got all of these years ahead of time from him at a far less than what you would say is, you know, premium rate for what baseball salaries are. Like you're saying, you have to be smart. You have to pace it out. The Cardinals play the long game and have success in doing so. So, yeah, it's okay. You don't have to spend $22 million on an Edwin Encarnacion or get excited just because a guy is on the market. He's going to look a lot better when he's just out there and you think you can just buy him and bring him in.
I think the Cardinals realize they need to do it a little differently, and I think in private conversations they would tell you that. I just think the circumstances haven't lined up. And that with Encarnacion, they didn't have the guys out there that fit what they were looking for. I think when we get to this season, next offseason, I think you're going to see them go after the big fish when those guys come in.
They've publicly stated that already. But like, Mo came out and said, yeah.
And I mean, they offered a ton of money to David Price.
They did.
He just got more. Exactly. They offered a ton of money to Jason Hayward. He just got more.
But you know what they didn't do? They didn't go over the top to make sure those deals got done. I'm not advocating they should have done that.
They offered Price $27 million.
Yeah, but they offered Hayward more than the Cubs did.
Well, on Price, the Red Sox offered more. That's how the deal got done. On Hayward, the money was similar. He chose Chicago. That's fine. My point is and I'm not saying they should do this. I'm just saying that's not been the Cardinals' MO to just say, all right, we want David Price. We're going to make it happen. We're going to give him the biggest offer, and he's going to come here.
I think they just did that with Dexter Fowler.
Yeah.
They just gave Dexter Fowler $82 million. They gave Brett Cecil $7.5 million to be a bridge guy in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals have long ago tucked away that we'll wait and let the young guys only develop. They're allowing that to happen now, too. But, I mean, they're just not out there like, oh, we'll give you bad money well past your prime. And I don't think they're ever going to become that, because if that was the case, Albert Pujols would still be.
Yeah, and they should. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. They should not do that. On the text line, the SoCo Midget says, hello, there is kind of a cap. The luxury tax will kill you.
True.
Just ask the Yankees. That's true, but that number's about $190 million. The Cardinals' payroll is about $130, $140. So my point is,
they're up at around the luxury tax is a percentage of the total that's out there. The Cardinals have scraped up close to $180, though. It's higher than $200, though. So that they've got room to still go if they want to.
Right, that's my point, is the Cardinals have money under the, and again, I'm not saying the Cardinals are to spend to the cap. I think the issue, and you were right, Matt, the guys they identified that they really wanted, Fowler and Cecil, they went out and got and probably overpaid relative to the market. And I think that's fine, but I think they just haven't had a chance to go get that big name guy. Because look, I love Dexter Fowler. I love Brent Cecil. They'll help the team. They're not game changers.
I think the MLB is a couple years behind what the NBA just did with these TV contracts, signing Conley to $33 million a year and all of that. Matty, what do you think about, I mean, can't you just backload everything? I mean, they did that with Carpenter, but if you're going to sign a big-name guy right now, knowing that there is massive amounts of money coming in later, why not just totally backload the contract and guarantee him a ton?
Guys got to be willing to do it, though. I mean, you never know what he might be getting offered to him up front somewhere else right now.
Well, that's true, but if it's all guaranteed, who cares if it's a bigger number?
Well, I mean, for me right now particularly, I might realize that I'm going to have greater earning worth later on, and I can balance it out, and maybe I want to get more money on the average each year, too. I think that when you get to that level, it comes down to personal preference.
Yeah, it's just like this TV money is mostly just for simplistic purposes, accelerating inflation. Like, pretty soon, your $5 million guy is going to be a $10 million guy as soon as this comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and the TV money is different, too, in other sports, because in the NBA, almost all the TV money is national money. So that hit it one time, and everybody's cap went up. In baseball, it's different, because the vast majority of your TV money is your local TV deal. So the Cardinals are going to get their new deal. I think it kicks in next year in 2018 with the big increase. Other teams are getting their deals at different times, like Arizona had a huge one a few years ago. So it comes in different ways, but I think for the Cardinals, it's 2018 that the new deal with Fox Sports Midwest kicks in.
And I think it's also important to realize that you could spend that money right now, but you might really want to spend it in 2018
or
2019.
18 is the class that everybody's already talking about where you're going to have potentially a huge cash of
monsters. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they'll go after Bryce Harper, huh?
I think
to stir the pot.
I think the truth.
We'll have to sell the arch, but
you have to give him the arch.
I think fans are just going to have to accept that last year, this year, and probably next year is going to be a 3-year period where the Cubs more than likely are going to be better than the Cardinals, and that's okay. The Cardinals have had a great run. As we've talked about, they don't have terrible contracts. They've got more money coming in. Well, they're set up for the future, and at the right time, when the guy's there who can really be a game changer, we'll see if they step up. I have a feeling they will to bridge that gap. But this is just one of those times. Look, the Cubs had a great group of young players that they drafted that pretty much all hit at the same time.
And that's just like
tough
Billy
to
said,
stop.
You just got
to
get to the dance, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to the
during
dance.
These
that's what the Cubs
years.
Did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Get Cardinals to the had 100 dance. Wins. And
yeah,
even...
you know, exactly. Just get to the dance and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Done it before.
It's the Johnny Landoff Line Change 590 The Fan on the text line. This texter says the new CBA is 190 for the luxury tax. Cards payroll projected to be 146.
It's
so, yeah,
rising.
Right.
They're allowing it to rise, though, so it doesn't become a hard and fast.
Oh, the luxury tax? Right. Yeah. Yeah. In this year, it's going to be $190 million. Then it goes up every year from there. Our title sponsor of the show is Johnny Landoff. Cam, tell us about some of the things they have going on.
Johnny Landoff Chevrolet is kicking off the new year by offering employee pricing to everyone. Are you kidding me? Check out these deals. 2017 Cruze, priced from $13,600. 2017 Malibu, starting as low as $18,900. And the savings continue in the truck department. 2017 Equinox is starting at $19,900. 2017 Silverado work trucks, priced from $23,500. Visit Johnny Landoff Chevrolet at the entrance of Highway 270 and the Washington Elizabeth exit, or 24/7 at Landoff.com. Chevy, find new roads.
I got to go see those guys. My Pontiac sort of starting to sound like a diesel truck.
I think I did pretty good there, didn't I?
you nailed it.
I nailed that. It's
smooth,
easy,
like
man.
A radio veteran.
And I just, you know,
that was that extra goal you didn't get yesterday. You saved it for today.
I know that. Oh, gosh, 2 goals and assists in a fight. I think
you got beat up.
And I got beat up by the owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we ran
lose situation, TJ.
Yeah, it is.
Come on. I mean, what do you want me to do?
When you kicked that stat line to me yesterday when we ran into each other last night and you said, yeah, I fought Tom Stillman, I was like, oh, no, wait, what happened?
What's
no,
he
no,
doing?
No.
What hospital is he in?
He's like, Cam, listen, can I talk to you for a second, Cam? Yeah, Tom, what's up? We're going to have to go tonight, I think. Yeah, sure, Tom. I mean, he was dead serious. Like, everybody's looking at me like, he was dead serious.
Well,
he wants to
entertain the fans.
I would have liked to see you mix it up with Jim Edmonds.
No, I want a Losey. I want a Losey, and I want him, and he knows it.
I think Jimmy can pack a punch. Yeah.
he's a southpaw.
I mean, he can't stay up on skates, but I think he can.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of fights in his life.
How do you know?
I could just look by his face. He's too handsome.
If you had Losey had gone, though, who do you think would have taken it out?
Oh, well, he's a big guy. I mean, gosh almighty, he's gotten into a ton of fights over the years. This would have been fun. It would have been fun, but I completely understand. I mean, I think differently than other people. Actually, I've probably been the dumbest thing in the universe, but I just think differently. I got problems. You know that.
Well, we do. That's Cam Jansen.
I miss
Jansen.
Fighting. I do.
Cam Jansen, oh, TJ Moe, Matt Whitener, Hanny H, Eric Messersmith. This is Johnny Londoff, Line Change, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.